You know, there's a lot of people that think and believe that God wants to meet their needs, but they're not sure that He will. Then there's another group of people that believe that God is able and wants to give them the best for in life. And then there's a third group that thinks that God is able to and wants to do more than we ask or think. You know, the people in that first group, they've just resigned themselves to living on at 101 Barely Good Long Street because that's just the way life is, so we just have to keep plodding along. Now the second group, they start to believe that God can and does sometimes help them out. The third group is all in. I mean, they bought in, all total bought in that God can do what He's, if they'll believe and think that direction, God can do it. You know, one man said this, the chief way that you and I are disloyal to Christ is when we make small what He intends to make large. You know, do you realize that people think and believe that, well, actually, that God meets you at the level that you are thinking and believing? Come on now. Thinking and believing is your thermostat. Now, in the last week or so, we have had to, and if you're like me, you've had to go to your thermostat, crank up the heat because it got cold for a few days. And now the last few days I had to go turn the heat down and get the cool back on. Is that how many of y'all had to do the same thing? Yeah. So that thermostat is what tells the heating unit or the AC unit to come on if it gets to that degree. Well, that is the same thing. Our thinking and believing sets the thermostat at the level that God will bless us. Come on now. It's what you're thinking and believing for that will, that's the level that God can meet you. You're the thermostat. So I want you to get a hold of the fact that if you're not being able to set your thermostat where it needs to be set, you need to get into the Word of God. And that'll help you to know how to set your thermostat higher than you've got it now to receive the blessings of God. You know, when my dad first started out leaving that last church, he knew how to get healing, but he didn't know how to set the thermostat for finances. And it took from the time I was in the third grade to the time I was in the eighth grade, or about the seventh actually, that he finally was able to, talking with the Lord and so forth, able to find out how to set the thermostat for financial blessings. See, we need to know how to set the thermostat for healing blessings or financial blessings or whatever it is we need, because when you go to that deal on the wall, you either can turn the heat on or turn the cool on or turn it off completely. Hello. Or you might have one of those that where you can put it on auto. And then you set your heat where you want it, you set your cool where you want it, and when it hits that temperature, it either brings on the cool or it brings on the hot. What we need to do is to set our thermostat to the place that He is a God of much more. He is a God of much more. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles 25, verse 5, in the New Living Translation. Then Ahimaaz, organized the army, assigning generals and captains for all Judea and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had an army of 300,000 select troops. Now, you notice here it said Judah and Benjamin. And from what y'all, if you study the Old Testament survey, you'll find out that Judah and Benjamin, they separated from the other 10 tribes. And actually, if you do get into really study, those 10 tribes are called the lost tribes. How many of you have studied that somewhere, you know? If you went to Rhema and Old Testament survey, you should have studied that. Now, here we are. So, he found out he had 300,000 select troops, 20 years old and older, trained in the use of the spear and the shield. He also paid 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighters, men from Israel. But the man of God came to him, that's the prophet, and said, "Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel, for the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help those people of Ephraim." If you remember, you go read back in the Old Testament, and the Lord said, "Ephraim has attached himself to idols, leave him alone." Hello, anybody ever read that in there? Yeah. So, if you let them go with your troops into the battle, you will be defeated by the enemy. No matter how well you fight, God will overthrow you, for he has the power to help you or to trip you up. Amaziah asked the man of God, "But what about all the silver I paid to hire that army of Israel?" The man of God replied, now here's what I want you to get to. "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." I like the sound of that. The Lord is able to give you much more. Here we see King I'm having trouble even pronouncing it. Amaziah, or whatever it is, anyway. One of my professors in Bible college told me, he said, "Don't worry about how you pronounce the name. Nobody else knows how to pronounce it either." Of Judah had paid 7,500 pounds of silver. Now, I don't know. I didn't bother to try to calculate how much money that would be, because that's not my forte. Okay, I'm not one of the people that's good with math anyway. But that's a bunch of money. All right. Now, then the prophet told him, "Hey, if you let Israel fight with you, you're gonna lose." Now you see, you have to go back and realize that in the Old Testament, the only three people that were anointed with the Holy Spirit was the prophet, priest, and king. And the one was anointed to be king. One was anointed to be a prophet. And the other was anointed to be a priest. You can go in the Old Testament and read about that, anointed them with oil. Remember when David, as a 17-year-old boy, Samuel went down there to anoint him, poured the oil on him. See, they didn't have the Holy Spirit within them like we do. And they were anointed for specific reasons, for specific jobs. So the prophet came to him and told him that. Well, the king was trying to be a good steward over his resources, and he was asking, "Man, what about all this money?" And the prophet answered him in the way that I like. "The Lord is able to give you much more than this, much more than 7,500 pounds of silver." The easy-to-read version says, "The Lord has plenty. He can give you much more than that." The voice says, don't worry about the money. It's nothing compared to what the eternal has to give you. Here, he was looking at one thing, one way from the natural standpoint, but God was looking at it from his standpoint. Hey, it don't make no difference. I got that covered easy. In fact, I can give you more than that. You know, we need to begin to believe in the much more God. Not just the God of enough, the God of much more. And we need to get to where we're setting our thermostats higher than we have been living at. Come on now, don't look at me like that. God wants you to live a good life. He said so. Jesus said it there in John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Not abundantly, a more abundantly. I'm talking about getting a hold of the fact that God wants you to have more than you have right now. And once you set your thermostat there and get there, then move it up. Because he has much more. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a much more God. Now we begin to look at this. The prophet said, hey, King, don't worry about it. Our God has got more. So think like that, he was telling him. Think like that. Now, the Bible is full of scriptures that shows us that he's the God of much more. I mean, it's just, there's all of them, all kinds in there, but I'm gonna hit a few of them. God thinks differently than we do. Hello, Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, said the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, how does God, we think in line with what we have, where we're at, what we can accomplish. That's what we think. That's how we are. That's how we operate. If you want to purchase something different, you look at your budget and you see if you can afford that or not. Am I right or wrong? Huh? Now, some people act foolishly and they can't really afford it, but they put it on their credit card and they'll never get it paid off. Now, did you know if you have a large amount on a credit card and you only pay the minimum amount every month, you will never, ever pay that card off because the interest just keeps building and building and building. Hello. This is not a finance class, but God thinks according to his riches and resources. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Come on. He thinks according to his riches and resources. Let's look at that. His riches and resources, according to the Word of God, are unlimited. Are unlimited. Are unlimited. My resources, your resources, are limited by what your intake every month or your income, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is. That's your resource. That's it. You know, sometimes people, you know, when you're filling out stuff or, you know, if you're doing planning your life, I forgot what you call it. You're planning your budget or planning how much you're worth and all that kind of stuff that you fill out. You see, that tells you, and sometimes actually because your property's worth so much, this is worth so much, so much. It says you're worth this amount, but actually, you only, in your bank account, you only got this much. Let me understand what I'm trying to say to you. Hello? You see, God looks over here, and his resources and his riches are more than you can even think or imagine, because he says that in his word. Hello? He thinks according to his power and his mind. He thinks about in line of what he is capable of doing. You think in line of what you are capable of doing. Now, let's put it all together. You do what you're capable of doing, and you begin to believe God for what he's capable of doing, and the natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God. Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this? I tell you what, as I was studying this, as you can tell, I got excited about this. I mean, I've been preaching for 6-7 years, and I've heard my dad talk about all of this, and I've heard other people's preach, but as I was getting ready for this message, I got really excited. I guess I just sort of stirred up the coals of what I've been taught about and watched it work as a kid growing up with my dad, to how that God is much more than we think. He can bless us much more than we think. Come on. It all comes back to what you think that God can do for you and believing what God can do for you. You see, we unconsciously think and act and believe according to what we're able to do. We make decisions on what our resources are. You know, I mean, that's just simple fact of life. Well, God does the same thing. He makes decisions based on what his resources are. And his resources are unlimited, like I said a while ago. Say this with me. God's resources are unlimited. Then that means that I can think like God and believe that his resources are more than enough to meet whatever I need. Now, did you just say that because I told you to? Or is it beginning to really resonate in your spirit? Is it really beginning to get a hold of you in your spirit? You see, we can say things, but let me tell you what, when you were talking like that, you got to be excited about it. It can't just be something you're saying. When you really believe God, you get excited about it. You begin to see it, even though before it appears in the natural, and you're excited about it. Abraham believed that God was able to do what he said he would do, and he was excited about it. And he talked about it for 17 years before he ever had it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to have to wait 17 years. But we got to get out of this microwave thinking and believe God. Hello? Now, you know, Lynette, my beautiful wife and great cook, you can tell. Although she doesn't cook at home as much since all the kids are gone. And have you that are more mature like myself found out once all the kids leave the house and everything, y'all don't eat at home as much? Anybody found that out? I see a lot of hands going up. It's just a whole lot easier to go to a restaurant. But man, she can go to the store and get a roast, and then she's got all this kind of oh, she puts a can of this in there and a can of that and some kind of golden mushroom and all these things. And it puts some carrots in there and some potatoes and I don't know what all she put. But man, I tell you what, it just ain't done in 20 minutes. It's sitting there in that slow cooker, crock pot, I think they call it. And it goes a number of hours. And man, I tell you what, you walking through, and anybody know how you smell that when it's cooking? I see some of the guys lifting two hands. You just can't hardly wait for it, right? Well, what we need to do is realize that while we're believing God, it's been put together. It's being put together. Just like that roast cooking in that crock pot. We keep believing. You see, the electricity going in there, keeping that thing going, it keeps it going. It keeps it going. Hey, you're believing and you're saying. You're believing and you're saying. You're believing and you're saying. Keeps it going. Keeps it going. Hello. Remember Daniel prayed, and 22 days later, the angel got there and he said, I was dispatched the minute you prayed, but it took 22 days to get here. His praying helped him to fight through the prince of Persia. Come on. Whenever God finds somebody that will begin to think how he thinks about his resources and begin to believe him for those resources, he will begin to minister to you. Anybody ever found that out but me? You know what? God has blessed me more than I. Lynette and I was talking about it just the other day, driving in the car. We was talking about how much, thought we'd ever just pastor 300 people and drive a Cadillac car and go to Hawaii once, that we had accomplished. Well, God is a much more God. It's been much more than that. Hello. And I was thinking as I was preparing this, I got to thinking about all of the things that have happened in my life and the things that God has blessed me with. And I got to thinking, and that's just a drop in the bucket. God has much more. Wow. God has much more. Where you're at right now, you can thank God for it, but he has much more. He has much more. I don't know about y'all, I'm getting excited. Old Billy Duguid down there, he's jumping off of the pew. Hallelujah. It's exciting when you begin to think that my blessings will never stop. As long as I know how to speak and believe. You see, we can have a greater blessing when we set our thermostat higher. Come on now. See, God is a much more God. Man, as you begin to look at these verses, it begins to change your thinking. It begins to change your believing. Believe me, what? Your thinking and believing has to end with you saying, I believe God as it has told me. Well, where did he tell you? Right here in the Word of God. He told me that he's a much more God. And I don't have to live on barely get along street or good enough avenue. I can live on the unprecedented boulevard of blessing. So move on up. You know, that old song, that they used to sing us, the Jefferson, moving on up. Don't look at me like that. I know. How many of you ever watched the Jeffersons? It was a fun show, a fun program to watch. Well, move on up to Blessing Highway. Not not just a two-lane road, but a four-lane expressway. And as your believing and prayers go up, coming down the other side are all the blessings and the benefits. Wow. Can anybody see it? I can see that in my mind's eye. I mean, how many of you go out there and drive, have driven on I-44, go to Oklahoma City or going up toward the Missouri line? Anybody ever driven over there? Hey, you're going this way, that car's coming this way. Hey, that's the way it is on God's four-lane highway of blessing. Your prayers and your faith are going up this side, and coming down the other side is all the blessings and all the healing and all the good things that God has for you. Whoa. I don't know about you. I'm getting excited. Matthew 6:30 says, "Now God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" Oh, you have little faith. Matthew 7:11. "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask?" Romans 5:10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his death of his son, much more has been reconciled. We shall be saved by life." Romans 5:15. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." Romans 5:17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Reign in life, that means controlling it. Hello. 2 Corinthians 3:8-11. "Shouldn't we expect the greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? The old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious. How much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever?" Hebrews 9:13. "Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice." Man, these verses, every one of these verses had much more, didn't they? Didn't we read it there? Much more, much more, much more, much more. I think God trying to get something over to us. God has much more for us. You see, we should not be overwhelmed. We should not begin to say, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" We should begin to let the Word of God come out of us, and we should think much more. Not what I'm going to do. Hey, God's got much more. Oh yeah, I know in the natural you look at it and that does come into existence. There is a thing on the natural. I can look and I can see it, but I can look on the other side and I can see the much more God that can take care of what I don't have on this side over here. I don't know if y'all getting excited about this. I'm excited. I hope I'm exciting you. We need to begin to declare the will of God is much more than we can ask or think. Matthew 21:21. Look at this. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this much more. You can even say to the mountain, may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Much more. 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 Much, much more. Much more. Much more. More healing, more power, more provision, more strength, more glory, much more, much more, much more, much more, much more, much more. Hallelujah. I used to hear Dad say it all the time. People are living far below. You can keep standing. That's all right. People are getting, they're coming up here. We're going to sing, I guess, because I ain't going to keep preaching. Once you get a crowd to this point, you don't keep preaching. You'll kill the crowd. I learned that a long time ago. But Dad used to say, people are living far below what God wants them to do. God has much more for them if they just get a hold of it and begin to believe it and begin to say it. They would find out that they don't have to live on barely get along street. God hadn't designed you for that. He designed you to live the great life. Hallelujah. Y'all got something? Hallelujah. Come on, let's go.
My God is more than enough. He will supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. My God is more than enough. He will supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. Come on, so why should I worry? So why should I worry about the highs and the lows? And the downs, 'cause by my faith I know my God is more than enough. He will supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. Come on, declare. So why should I worry? So why should I worry about the highs and the lows, the ups and the
you to walk away from this service this morning with a pep in your step and a smile on your face and a praise coming out of your mouth that God is more than enough for any and everything that you need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Dan and them, they went back a long way to get that one. And these young kids up here, they did a good job. Give them a hand. They picked up on it real quick. They didn't know that song. Some of them probably never heard it. But they did a good job, didn't they? I tell you what, Lynette, sometimes out on the road, she'll want a song, and it's an old Pentecostal song. Sometimes Anthony knows it, but Patrick knows all of them, I think. Him and Lynette, they know all of them. Of course, Patrick grew up praying in the church and all those songs. But let me tell you what, we need to get a hold of the fact and hang on to it. This was great. You're going to walk out that door and you're so excited, and the devil going to slap you up beside the head. And that's when you got to say, Mr. Devil, what do you think you're doing? Let me give you a left jab and a right uppercut. My God's much more. My God's much more. You just have to keep telling him that. He's hard hearing sometimes. So you got to keep telling him. Sometimes you got to yell it at him. Come on now. Just get vocal. Hallelujah. Old Narvel Hayes. Anybody ever heard Narvel? If you go to Narvel, you better take your lunch and your water bottle. Y'all didn't know Narvel. He went all night. But he talks about he had a restaurant that wasn't doing any good, and nobody was there at noontime. He went down and he said he would scream every day. He would drive down there at 11 o'clock and start screaming at that restaurant. And in about 2 weeks, they couldn't handle the crowd. He said, I started out just being quiet, and all of a sudden I realized, and he said, I'm in my car by myself just yelling, restaurant, you'll be full in Jesus' name, because my God is much more. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to do that. Well, I better shut up, okay? Hallelujah. Did you get anything this morning? You better got something, because the anointing was in here today. I guess it's here all the time, but sometimes it's a little stronger than other times. Hallelujah to Jesus. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be with us this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you don't know this much more God, we want you to know him before you leave. Or if you're here and you know what it is to live with this much more God, but you've sort of turned your back, you've sort of walked away, and you need to come back and rededicate your life. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you and for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. And that's why I'm asking you, raise your hand anywhere in the building, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. I'm going to wait just a moment. Heavenly Father, I see no hands, but I thank you that if there's be one person under the sound of my voice in this room or watching on that TV, I thank you that your Holy Spirit would go with them, and they cannot do anything until they stop and ask your Son Jesus Christ into their life. In Jesus' name I pray it, amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night right here at 7 o'clock for Hour of Power. Next Sunday right here for the, Sunday morning service. Connection team, would you please find those people that are here for the first time? We're so glad to have you here. What do we want to say to these people that were here for the first time? Welcome home. Come and join us. Praise the Lord. The staff is going to the different doors to shake hands. I'm going to be at the south door for your parents, because I'll have all the lollipop suckers, whatever you want to call them, at my door to give to all the kids. There's where we're going. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. He's more than enough. So show me.